The church is really trying to sweep this under the rug, and you know, we're pretending we're all united. We're the United Methodist Church, after all, you know, and we don't really have an issue with this. And I think what happened during my trial and after my trial and the aftermath of it, people really saw how many are in support of the LGBT community and LGBT rights.
If the church abandons its teaching on sexuality, there will in fact be a much deeper division and a formal schism.
How do voluntary private organizations change, or refuse to change, policies that are central to their missions? That's the underlying issue that many religious groups are facing when it comes to gay marriage. Religious practices change all the time. Just ask Catholics who celebrated Mass in Latin until the 1950s, or Protestant groups that started ordaining women as ministers in the 1970s. But are there certain core beliefs that can never change? This is a story about how one church, the United Methodist, is negotiating a difference of opinion that could split the church.
The practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. We cannot perform a wedding for you and your loved one in our church. That's the message my son had heard, and that drove him into depression and to the brink of suicide. And when my son asked me 6 or now 7 years ago, "Dad, will you do the wedding for me?" There was no way in hell that I would have said no to my son.
Frank Schaefer is a former United Methodist pastor. He was stripped of his credentials last December after a church trial found him guilty of disobeying the church law when he performed his own son's gay wedding in 2007. The United Methodist Book of Discipline, which contains Methodist laws and doctrine, strictly forbids the celebration of same-sex unions.
I came to the conclusion, I said, okay, well, if this means that I'm going to be fired, then so be it. You know, but I will perform this wedding for my son. I saw it as an act of love, you know, and furthermore, I mean, just consider this, if I had said no to him, it would have negated all of those affirmations my wife and I had given him, you know, from day one when he came out, you know, when we said to him things like, you know, you are created in the image of God just like everybody else, you know, God created you the way you are. Gay and all.
3 out of 4 of Frank's children are gay. Before officiating the wedding, Frank informed his supervisors of his decision. He did not, however, inform his congregation. 6 years after the wedding, a member of Frank's congregation in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, learned of the wedding and filed a complaint. A 13-member jury of pastors found him guilty of disobeying Methodist rules.
I lost my credentials. I was immediately terminated from my position. I lost all my privileges. I no longer have a guaranteed appointment. I lost my tenure and the status of being a reverend. It was a very painful experience. I guess at that moment, I realized how much of a calling it is for me to be a pastor. That's who I am. That's what I've done for the last 20 plus years.
Frank is using this opportunity to speak out against what he believes is discrimination within the Methodist Church. And he's not alone. The issue has deeply divided the nation's largest mainline Protestant denomination.
And it's important to remember the ultimate debate is not over sexuality. That's just one sort of battle flag issue in the current culture wars. The debate that's been going on for the last 150 years within Western Christianity is between traditionalists and more liberal revisionist.
Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, a conservative think tank in Washington, D.C., says Frank's defrocking was justified.
Any kind of a church law, by definition, has to be upheld. Otherwise, it's not a church law.
Tooley says the liberal side of the church is trying to assert its loose interpretation of biblical scriptures on the church as a whole.
I think the problem with the Protestant liberal revisionism is that it empowers or privileges the current generation of elites and asserts a superiority of intellect and spirituality over everybody else in the world currently and throughout history.
The issue of homosexuality has been hotly debated within the Methodist Church since 1972, when language condemning the practice was first introduced into the Book of Discipline. The Methodist General Conference meets every 4 years, and each time has voted to uphold the prohibition on same-sex unions. Liberal theologians are a sizable minority within the church and have been pushing back against the restrictive language every step of the way. Hundreds of Methodist ministers have publicly rejected the doctrine, and, like Frank, some face punishment by trial for performing same-sex weddings. Frank says he doesn't want to add any language to the Book of Discipline mandating acceptance of same-sex unions. He just wants to take out the words condemning it.
By just taking that language out, we're just leaving it up to everybody individually. If there are pastors that are uncomfortable in leading gay marriages, they don't have to do it. But those who are comfortable and feel called to do it, they are allowed to without facing trials.
Well, that's merely the current talking point of the liberal side of the church. We just want to create an open tent for both sides. But I think both sides understand that, in fact, that would just be one step towards deconstructing the church's traditional point of view and ultimately, in very quick time, ratifying and affirming the liberal revisionist point of view.
Fellow mainline Protestants have already moved towards accepting gay unions. This includes the United Church of Christ and the Episcopal Church of America. But the Methodist Church seems to be going in the opposite direction. The margin of vote against changing the church's stance on homosexual unions was 61-39% at the 2012 General Conference, which was a wider disparity than in 2008. The explanation has to do with the structure of the Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church is very centralized. The General Conference makes rules for everything by way of a majority vote. This is very different from other mainline denominations who operate as a loose federation of congregations with a shared tradition, but not necessarily the same rules. This loose federation allows the different congregations across the world more autonomy. Congregations in the United Methodist Church have less autonomy, and a significant portion of the church lies outside of the United States. While membership in the United States is declining, overseas branches are increasing, and these tend to be more conservative.
Methodism has a global membership. It's not U.S. only, like the other old-line denominations, and so the growing African church has provided the numbers to block the acceptance of their agenda on the sexuality issue.
Advocates of gay marriage say that the best hope for the United Methodists to stay united is to allow local congregations around the world more autonomy. Without that, they say, the church could face a formal schism.
But sometimes a division has to happen so that, you know, both parts of the church can minister with integrity. And certainly that's not happening right now. We're saying we're the United Methodist Church, but we're not. You know, it's a fake union, it's not real, and it compromises ministers and people's integrity.